Extraction number 14977, Ernest Harvey, Reel 2.
Mr. Harvey, Reel 2. How did it come about that you joined the forces, Mr. Harvey?
Well, I was called up in May. I had a medical in May, in 42, and I was called up in June. And I joined the army at Vanswith on 18th of June, 42.
Did you have a medical prior to going in?
I had a medical in May, 42.
How and complex, how good was that medical?
Well, I had a thorough medical because actually I had a few letters from the doctors at home with regarding the health and what I'd suffered from and everything. But I had a full medical and they still passed me year one.
You say you're called up. What was the process of calling up?
For the duration of the emergency. That's what it was called, because of the war.
And you got something in the mail which told you this was happening?
Yes, duration of emergency. I had to report that it was the Infantry Training Centre at Vanswith on the 18th of the 6th.
1942. Had you had any thoughts of joining any particular regiment or branch?
Well, actually, I applied to join the Navy, but unfortunately I didn't get into the Navy. I got into the Term Light Infantry.
Was that your second choice, or were you just sent there?
I was just sent there. I had no choice. No, I mean, I put the Navy down, but I was chosen for the infantry, and that was it.
It would be a sad day when you left home.
It was, yes.
What were your four brothers doing?
Well, my four brothers were all miners at Eppleton Colliery at the time. At least all but the youngest one, who was still at home. But eventually he went to the mines as well.
So you're the only one of the sons that went into the forces?
That's right, yes. Because I wasn't a miner. Miners were more or less exempt from the services.
Reporting to Bransworth Castle, what was that like?
It was the camp, actually. It wasn't the castle. The castle was situated next door, which was more or less for the officers and what have you. And we went into the camp and it was... The guard room was situated on the right-hand side when you went in, and as I say, we all more or less went into the company stores when we joined up, and we were still with uniforms, boots, etc. Then to the barrack room.
Were they good fit?
Yes, I would say they were quite decent fit. Yes, I couldn't complain about the fit. I mean, you asked for a size, and you got the size you wanted. Is regarding your boots and your cap. But the uniforms, well, they might have been a little bit... But we had a tailor there. You'd get them altered, sort of, you know, when you wanted to.
What were you issued with?
Well, a full uniform, trousers. And then there was also denims. Boots, gaiters, cap. Underwear. Two vests, two pairs of shorts, two pairs of socks, and you're issued with a housewife. A housewife is what you use for when you're going to darn your socks, anything like that. Knife, fork and spoon.
How did they receive you at the camp?
Well, at the camp, I would say they received us quite well. They were very good and very efficient. And the barrack room was quite good. We had double bunks. And they gave us a palliasse. And we had to go and it took us to a large place where there was like a large barn. And we had to fill the palliasses with straw, which is all bedding. And then we had like double bunks. Fortunately, I got one on the bottom. And there used to be a large stove in the centre of the barrack room. And the barrack room was... called Lady Smith.
Were these wooden huts?
They were like, yes, they were like a wooden hut, and they were quite comfortable.
How many people would be sleeping in?
I would think approximately about 30, and then maybe there was a small room where the corporal and the sergeant used to have, which was more or less separate. I would say approximately 32, if my memory serves me right.
Where did you keep your kit?
Well, we had like a locker, and but on the morning we used to have to lay all our kit out on the bed, you know, how to make our beds up, and then show all our boots upside. You know, you had two pairs of boots, and you had to put one on pair on the bed, and all your kit was laid out.
This was laid out in a certain pattern.
Every day it was laid out in a certain pattern. Yes. Like your blankets had to be folded properly, and so much of your kit had to be laid out, and it had to be just so. Otherwise, you were for the high jump.
And that was inspected every morning?
Well, I would think that would be done every day. But if they wanted inspection, they would come and ask for the kit inspection any time. Any time they would say kit inspection, and you had to get all your kit out and pull it out, which was... maybe it's once every 2 or 3 weeks. You catch it unexpected and just say a kit inspection, and that was it.
If you were short, what happened?
If you were short, well, you had to pay for them. If you went for a replacement, you'd have to pay for them. And one time they used to put you on a charge if you were short. You used to get CB, but eventually, I think as time went by, they used to charge you for them.
Was there much stealing?
Well, actually, it's funny you said that. The night before I was leaving Vanspurs, after I'd done all my training, etc., I'd had my trousers pressed ready, and I'd gone out for the night, and when I come back, my trousers had gone, and I reported it. And of course, we had to have a told the sergeant, right, so the officer in charge, kit inspection, and everybody had to have a kit inspection at 12 o'clock at night, and eventually... my trousers turned up. It was one of my mates, unfortunately. No names, no pub drill. But he was going away the following day, so he'd probably get charged when he got to his next posting. Of course, those we had to stamp all our trousers inside with our numbers on. You know, and of course they were there, so he hadn't a leg to stand on.
Do you know what happened to him?
I don't know, no. I've never seen him since, unfortunately. No.
The barrack room itself, how was it kept clean?
Well, more or less, it used to take turns. Every morning it used to have to be swept out, or sometimes even scrubbed out, you know. And the coal fire had to be cleaned. Oh, everything had to be spotless. Yes.
What did you use for cleaning?
Well, they used to use some type of domestic and soap. They used to use it, well, for the floors. I think they used to go on the hands and knees and rub it out with cloths.
And was this inspected every morning?
Oh, yes. When the officer used to come around, he used to inspect all the barrack rooms.
You mentioned the... oven in the middle, the fire in the middle.
The fire, yes.
How was that
was
kept
coal,
clean?
It was coal fire, or it was like black-leaded. It was black-leaded, well, more or less every 2 or 3 days it would be black-leaded, and it was always clean, there was always plenty of coal there, because you used to have to take turns to get the coal for the fire.
Was your work cleaning and polishing divided into
sections, yes. Yes, it was. But more or less you had a full-time job as well, keeping your kit clean, because your kit had to be blank-walled, and your badges and your buttons all had to be cleaned. Everything just had to be so.
How was this done? How did you blanko?
Well, I used to blanko with... you used to have to scrub your kit, and then you had this blanko which you put on, and then you hang them out to dry. And when it was dry, where your pouches and your kit was ready for to put on.
What colour were they kept?
It was khaki. It was all brown. Khaki brown, all your kit.
How did you clean your brasswork? Particularly brass that was on clothing.
Well, the brasswork was, we had a long, like a piece of metal, what slid over inside the badges, and then we used to clean them with polish. It was I forgot the name of it now. It was like a 6-inch piece of metal with a slot down the centre.
Were there any tricks to cleaning that you picked up?
Well, just cleaning boots, really, with spit and polish. The name tells you itself, really, spit and polish. And we used to burn them with a match, put plenty of polish on and then put a match to it and then polish them. And they used to come up sparkling, you know.
Ablutions, where were those?
Well, the ablutions was more or less separate from the buildings. They were more or less on their own. And doors were always kept spotless. Because then all the chaps who's got CB, that was the duties. So you'd always find there was somebody getting CB because they must have so many on CB to keep everything clean. And that was the idea of CB, and confined to barracks. And then they did all the dirty jobs, keep all the toilets and everything clean and what have you. And the same year with the cook houses.
The ablutions themselves, what form did they take? How, for example, did you wash?
Well, just the normal wash basins, what we had, quite normal where we were. They were very good, well up to date, advanced specific garden wash basins and that. I mean, sometimes you might have found the one which was outside where they had the taps outside and the long table with the dishes, you know. Well, if I remember rightly, Vanspeth, it was really up to date. It was more or less inside. And, no, they were very good.
Life within the barrack block itself, was any bullying taking place?
No, not at Vanspeth. I would think it was very good. I mean, we had a Sergeant Morley, and he was very good. And the drill might have been strict, but it was very good. And route marches, well, I mean, we did plenty of those.
Was there any initiation ceremonies that you hear about these days?
No, I don't think so, no. Not there.
Gambling, was there gambling taking place? When men are together?
No, there was very little gambling. There might have been the odd card game, but nothing excessive. Because really, we didn't have the cash for gambling. I mean, I think then we were running on about, I think it was 10 and 6 or 12 shillings a week. And I mean, we needed the money sort of because you had to buy your toothpaste and different things, you know. You hadn't the money for gambling. No, there was no, if they did, it was for small stakes.
Was gambling frowned upon by the army?
No, I wouldn't say so. No, I don't think so.
It was just a question that you didn't have the money rather
that's
than...
That's right, it wasn't a question of gambling. We didn't have the money for gambling, I think. I think that was the answer.
Did you allot a part of your money to your home?
Yes. When I come to think of it, I allowed my mother 7 shillings a week. All the time I was in, you know, and that was taken off my wages.
Was there anything else taken off your wages automatically?
No, not there, not to my knowledge. That's the only thing I can think of.
You mentioned your Sergeant Morley, I think you said his name was.
Yes.
You say he was all right. What was he like as a training sergeant?
He's very good. He's very good. He was one of the quickest men I've seen, and oh yes, he could do almost anything.
Had he seen action?
Well, he had. I think he'd been somewhere, but actually he was killed in Normandy. Actually, I was with him when he was killed, unfortunately.
He wasn't an old man?
No, I would think he would be a chap. Well, I mean, I was only 19, but I think he'd be a chap then about 26 or 27. I think, you know, I'm not certain.
Your squad was made up of the 30 men, is that right?
Approximately, I would think, yes.
And you have a sergeant?
Yes.
You've mentioned a corporal.
And a lance corporal.
Do you recall who the corporal was?
No, I can't remember his name. I can't remember the lance corporal's name. And I would think more or less the lance corporal more or less used to do nearly all the work, you know? You know, when we went out on parade, it was him, and then the sergeant would come and take us. They used to take turns.
Did your small unit, your squad, did it have a number or a name?
Ladysmith. That was the name of the... Well, they called us Ladysmith, you know, for all his Ladysmith barracks. That was it.
What was discipline like within the unit?
Oh, discipline was very good. I mean, they were very strict, but at the same time, they were reasonable. They weren't too bad, not at Bansmith. Well, I couldn't find no complaints there.
After being in a civilian and doing a normal job and being living within a family, how did you personally find it to be launched into a place where you were very closely grouped with men and you had this external discipline all the time?
Well, I accepted it quite well, really, because, I mean, I was always a good mixer, and there was some decent chaps there, and we got on quite well together, and the food was very good. So, no, really, I don't think I had any complaints. And, I mean, PT, there was plenty of that, which I enjoyed.
You mentioned food there. What was the food like that you were getting? Can we take it, for example, would you get for breakfast?
Well, for breakfast, you could either have porridge or cornflakes, and then there was bacon and egg, tomato, sausage, and a mug of tea.
Were you paraded and marched to breakfast?
No. Breakfast time, you knew your time for your breakfast, and you more or less, you just all just went up to the cookhouse, and then you just more or less paraded outside and just automatically went in. Of course, you carried your own mug and your own knife and fork, and then you just sat down with your mate or whoever, and you went and you got your meal and sat down and you enjoyed it. No, it was very good.
Washing your utensils, Mr. Harvey, how did you do that?
Well, when we came outside, there was like a large tub or a bin which was full of soapy water, and you just washed your utensils in that. If you were lucky, it would sometimes be hot, warm. If not, it could be cold. When it was kept, it would be replaced every so often.
If you felt that you had complaints about meals, could you make those complaints to anyone?
Yes. You could make your complaints to the orderly officer if you wished. But fortunately, we never had no reason to complain. Not Advancement.
There were a properly trained cooking, catering staff?
Yes. Staff there, I think, was very good.
What time did you get up in the morning?
If my memory serves us right, I think we valley would go about 7 now, I think, and breakfast at 7:30, and then we more or less come and be on parade, I should think, at 8.
What kind of activity might you be doing during the course of the morning?
Well, on the morning we would all parade outside with your rifle. It could be for drilling, it could be marching, slow open arms, present arms, drilling.
How were you taught the drills?
We were taught the drills in numbers, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, that's how the proceeded. And of course there we used to march very fast. I think if it was about 60 paces to the minute, I think, something like that. And it was always 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, slope arms, present arms, order arms. And then we used to march off.
Did you march from the very beginning? Did you march at the light infantry pace, or were you gradually built up to it?
if my memory serves me right, I think we went straight into it. No, I think we went straight into it. But we soon picked it up. I mean, more so when everything was by numbers. And after that, we'd probably go and come back in, get changed, and go to PT. Maybe have an hour's PT.
What form did that take?
Well, the form would be jumping over the horse, and then there would be rope climbing, and then exercises.
This would be in a separate
That would be
place.
In a separate, that would be in the gym. That was in a separate gym. And there were, you'd be under two gym instructors who were very good.
Were you learning anything like unarmed combat at this
unarmed
stage?
Unarmed combat, we were learning that as well.
After PE or PT, what did would you do then?
Well, after PE, you might have gone for rifle firing. You might have had a rifle range there. You might have gone onto there and fired rifle practice.
Was that something that came a little later rather than the beginning
yes,
of your...
Yes, I would think that came a little later, the rifle practice.
Route marches, you mentioned route marches. How far were they in the
yes.
beginning?
Well, in the beginning, I think we used to start off with 5, and then 10, and then 15, and then 20, and then more or less it was more or less route marches would be more or less every day. And every time we went on a route march, on the way back, coming into the barracks, we always have to march to attention. So you can imagine how you felt like marching to attention after being on about a 15-mile route march at the pace of Durham's march, and then coming in marching to attention, coming through into the barracks. Of course, when you used to come into the barracks, there was nearly always an officer standing at the guard room waiting for you coming in, like, and then you had to give them the eyes right, and you had to be smart, like, and that was the procedure. Then you went into your barrack room and changed.
On your route march, before we go further.
Yes.
Was that carried out at a quick pace for the whole of the route march?
No, I don't think so, no. And we used to stop, I think it was about 10 minutes every hour. We used to get down and have our feet up on the railings, you know, as long as our feet were up in the air. And that was more or less it. But we got used with route marches and our feet began to get hardened up. But when we didn't, we first kicked off, we used to urine in our boots on the night time. And then on the morning, we used to soak our socks. And that was the procedure regularly for when you went on these long route marches.
To urinate in your boots?
On the night time. And then in the morning, you used to soak your socks. Because if you're doing route marches every day, 15 miles, and then 20 miles the next day, your feet are in a terrible state. So that's what we used to do.
And what was the idea of that?
Well, I think the idea of that was, I mean, this was the old soldiers. What we learnt off the old soldiers, passed it on, that was to harden our feet up, you know, and I find out really it worked. And
So urine is a...
On a night time.
A feet hardening activity.
Well, yes, well, I mean, that is what we used to do, I mean.
On your route march, you say you had a break every 10 minutes, you would carry your food with you, presumably.
Oh, yes, I mean, we had our small packs, and I mean, we had the mess tins, and we'd get issued with sandwiches, and... We had the hot water bottles with water, and that was it, sandwiches. Could be cheese, it was mainly cheese. Sometimes you were fortunate to get ham.
And your water bottles were just filled with water?
With water, yes. It depends, sometimes if you went on a scheme, what would happen was they would have a mobile kitchen would be following you, and it would stop at a certain area, and when you got there, they would be there with a hot meal for you, depending upon the weather. If it was cold weather, there was a mobile unit there which supplied you with a hot meal. But if not, that was you just had sandwiches.
You mentioned your small pack that you were carrying. What else? What other equipment did you have?
Well, you had your water bottle and you had your pouches, which was always filled with the Vengun magazines. You nearly always carried those with you. Well, you had your rifle and your bayonet and your small pack.
You say Bren gun magazines. Why Bren gun magazines as against my rifle magazines?
No way. With your rifle magazine, you had a bandolier. If you had a rifle, you had your bandolier, which you carried with you. But you always carried Bren gun magazines for the Bren gun. And I think the idea of carrying them was to get used to carry as much ammunition around with you as possible, so you had them, so you could supply your Bren gun. You know, when the time came, if it needed that, you always had ammunition for the Bren gun, which was a good idea, really. Of course, it was much heavier for when you were marching.
Marching those distances during the course of a day or whatever, were you singing soldier songs? Or?
Well, we did. Oh, yes, we had our own songs, yes. Yes, the Derms had their own songs. So what was it, as we marched down the avenue? All the lasses shout. The dear liar passing by. It's all songs like that, you know.
And of course, gradually, you say, the route marches extended in distance.
As you went on, yes. Yes.
Did you find your packs heavy to carry in the march?
No, I think really the rifle sort of was the worst, I think, because when you were carrying your rifle, it was on your shoulder, and your shoulders used to get skinned, and I think that was the worst part. Your packs weren't too bad. I think carrying your rifle was the worst part. Of course, you would find one or two, like, who wasn't physical up to it, and you would see the corporal maybe carrying two or three rifles, and, you know, I often used to see that.
In the longer distances, men must have dropped out. How were they catered for?
Well, I can't remember anybody dropping out, like, not when I was at Bansmith. Not there. If they did, well, they would probably just have to make their own way back to the camp. In those days, there was plenty of transport, military vehicles passing by. They would pick them up and take them back to the camp. I don't think that would be much of a problem.
You've mentioned drills. How does a DLI drill differ from those of the other regiments?
Oh, the others are much slower. I mean, at Bansmith, we had the Duke of Wellington's regiment there. And, I mean, even when they slow up arms, I mean, it's much slower than the DLI, you know. I mean, it was... well, it was very, very slow when they did in the slow marching as well. Well, when in the Derms we were twice as fast, I would think, as the sort of the Duke of Wellington's.
Did you carry your rifles marching in a different position to the others?
When we were marching, we used to carry the rifles, at the side. At the trail, but when you really got on the route march, the wall of your shoulder. You know, but when you were marching to attention, well, you had them at your side.
Was it heavy, the rifle?
Well, you got used to it after a while, and you accepted it. It was part of your equipment, like, and I mean, that's one thing I suppose you wouldn't part with at the time. You know, many of the time the corporal would say, well, shall I carry a rifle for you, but... Oh no, you were letting the team down if you parted with your rifle.
When you got back from the route march, were there foot inspections?
Yes, there used to always be a foot inspection. You would go to this long table and you'd take your shoes and socks off, and there would be two or three of them sitting who would look at your feet, and then he would bust your blisters and then treat them with methylated spirits. And then off you would go and get ready for the next day.
And you'd have to march with your blisters.
Oh,
although
yeah.
They'd been treated, they would still be painful.
They were treated, they were painful, but they were treated. You got the blisters was burst, you'd burst them with a needle and then put the mitts on, and you put your socks back on, and then you're off to your barracks. Then you're ready for the next day for another another route march if you were going on one, which was route march was more or less, that was it. That was more or less your training, that was getting you fit.
And were you getting
we
fit?
We were getting fit, oh yes, very fit, definitely. Because the food was good, you know, and I mean we were getting plenty of exercise. What was PT training and then route marches? Oh no.
So that make fill part of a morning, then you come to lunchtime. What time would lunch be?
Well, I would think lunch maybe is 12:30 till 1:30.
What might you get for lunch?
Well, you get the usual meat, potatoes, carrots, and turnip, peas, and then you will get your sweet, maybe it's rice pudding or a sponge pudding, and then after that a pot of tea. Oh, the food was very good at Bunsmith. I must give them that.
And again, did you make your own way over? Or
just
were you
the same,
over?
No, we'll just make our own way over, and then as the usual procedures, just suss our mugs and knife, fork and spoon, then back to the barrack room and get ready for whatever was on in the afternoon.